All this week, we've been looking at higher education and how colleges are looking to resume in-person classes for the fall semester. We heard from University of Hawaii President David Lassner yesterday. Today, we hear from Chaminade President Lynn Babington, who has an extensive background in nursing administration.
We're very fortunate here at Chaminade that we had just the timing of our spring break. We had about a week with our faculty to be able to help all of them transition to an online format for course delivery. Now, Chaminade's been in the online business for many years as we've been a major provider of online education to the military here in Oahu and when they're stationed abroad. So we already have the technology platforms, we have the people in place that are instructional designers, etc. So we're very lucky. That being said, we had to work with a number of faculty who have never taught online to make sure that our offerings were robust and replicated as best possible on situations in the classroom. I think we've done amazingly well, actually. And part of it is because of our size, I'm sure of that. Our largest classes are about 20 people. So when you're a faculty member and you might have 12, 15 people in the class, you know those students, they know you, you've already developed a relationship in this case since you were meeting on in person at the beginning of the semester. And so students didn't get lost. The faculty stayed in touch with the students to make sure that they're keeping up with their studies, they're learning, they're achieving whatever the outcomes of the course were. So in some senses, I think it's been easier. And, you know, we have all kinds of student activities, Zoom and games and meditation and yoga and all kinds of stuff to keep the students busy from a social perspective, too. But I do think our advantage is that we're relatively small and we've always had very high touch point way of delivering education.
So what's the plan for next semester? Because, you know, I've talked to a couple of students who actually attend colleges on the mainland, and they're rethinking. We might just take a semester off because they're not real keen on this distance learning, and they don't think they're getting their money's worth.
Well, and that's, of course, the challenge all higher educational institutions find themselves in. In our case, we have submitted a plan to the governor's office and the mayor's office for, you know, unless things take a really bad turn, for being able to actually provide face-to-face learning following social distance guidelines. Again, the small help. We may have to pivot some of our classes to be held in larger classrooms and auditoriums to accommodate the number of students and the distancing required. But we've submitted these plans and how that we can keep track of who's on campus and the health of people. And I'm very hopeful we'll be able to do that. We know there's a lot of students here in Hawaii that go to universities on the mainland. We're reaching out to those students and, you know, saying, why don't you come to Chaminade for a year or, you know, continue your education here. Try us out. We have great outcomes for our students. And these are students who may not have ever thought about staying on island, number one, or thought about Chaminade, number two. We're very transfer friendly. We've been working, actually, we've gotten support and a partnership with KCC to streamline the transfer process. We have a program with them called Two and Done. If students take a curriculum at KCC, they're guaranteed to come here and finish their education in 2 years. You know, this is providing they were full-time. So we've been working very hard in the last few years with community colleges particularly, but several universities in California have recently closed and in Oregon, and we seamlessly transferred those students to us. So we feel pretty good about the transfer process. And, you know, our courses would transfer anywhere as long as the major that somebody had was available, of course. We wanted to be prepared. We've looked at all our classroom availability. We've looked at a whole number of things. But to actually be proactive as well, this summer, our faculty in the next 6 weeks will be, every course will be reviewed so that it has a very experiential, high-impact project at the end of the class, and that it's delivered at the state-of-the-art best practices online. And all the faculty are going through being certified as an online instructor, because we know that even though next year might be totally in person, I don't know, the world's changing, and we want to be prepared to really offer the best education possible to our students.
And because you have a health background, how are you looking at this pandemic pivot?
Well, you know, interesting how things work out. We had already launched a program for the fall, and already students from high schools are applying to it or have been accepted into a Bachelor's of Science in Public Health. it's funny that it happened at this time, and it really has three major tracks. One, direct public health worker. The other is to organize, as people are doing now, to organize the contact tracers and systems like that. And the third track is really with a focus on data. And we have a data analytics, data visualization program. And those types of people are the folks now that are helping us determine when the curves are flattening, when we can potentially mitigate some of the restrictions or lift some of the restrictions. So it's kind of an interesting thing that we already had that plan. Also, we had planned in December or January, we're launching a doctorate of nursing practice program with a focus as a nurse practitioner. And we know that even before this pandemic hit, that Hawaii has a real lack of primary care practitioners. And the physician nurse practitioner team really is a wonderful opportunity to expand primary care practice here in the state. So we already had those. We also, in collaboration with all of our healthcare community partners, the hospitals, major healthcare systems, even the insurers, some of the skilled nursing and kapuna homes, we launched last year a master's business in healthcare administration because they said we need people with a business background that are in healthcare and understand healthcare. So we have that going as well. And one of our specialties in as a certificate is in healthcare data analytics,
wow,
data visualization. So those are the things that we already had underway. And as you know, there'll be a lot more interest, I do believe, in the field of healthcare as we move forward. And our community partners say we just need people with broad range of knowledge and experience to help us deliver programs, to help us design and evaluate programs, write grants to support programs. And another area that we're very well established in, and unfortunately has come to a major light now during this challenging time, is mental health, behavioral health issues. We have master's programs in marriage and family therapy, in counseling mental health, and school counseling. We're launching a program with the DOE in school psychology educational specialist, which is around that area. And last year, when Argosy University closed, we took over their program in clinical psychology. So we have the PsyD, a doctorate of clinical psychology program. We have about 100 students in that program, and those are currently, they're providing mental health services in all the community centers around the state, but they also, those are our future clinical psychologists.
So if there are folks who may have lost jobs and are wondering, maybe now's the time to go back to school and get into a different profession, healthcare could be it.
Yeah, healthcare could be it in any of these. We've, of course, at the undergraduate level, we've opened up our admissions and extended admissions. Typically, May 1 is when students usually make decisions about college. We've extended that through the summer. We've been holding virtual webinars and open houses. We have student panels, faculty panels, and we've had just great attendance. Actually, I'm a little surprised. We have virtual tours with students walking around campus, somebody in their dorm room showing all the amenities of the dorm. For the graduate students that you're talking about, we also, this we had before this started, but we have a $5,000 scholarship for new students to begin graduate programs. You know, we're hoping to showcase a little bit about the success of our students. We have articulation agreements with 21 different postgraduate universities for medical school, dental, veterinary school, osteopathic, and as well as pharmacy and a bunch of these other programs. So we have a lot of students already heading out that are graduating. But one of our students was just awarded a one-year fellowship before she starts an MD-PhD program to work in Fauci's office.
Fauci, that would be Dr. Anthony Fauci, who has been front and center of this COVID-19 White House task force. So what an opportunity for one of Hawaii's own to get a front row seat in this global health crisis.